Father's intention or the Father's vision is that he will manifest himself through everyone, every part of the body of Christ. Experience will be measured. Your victory will be measured according to the purity of your doctrine. Your progress will be measured according to the soundness of your doctrine. Things have the power to shape a believer's future. They continue steadfastly first in the apostles' doctrine, because it is from this doctrine that the power will flow with the intention that God had in mind.
Amen. All right, today we'll be talking about sold out, the practice of sacrificial living. Amen. Sold out, the practice of sacrificial living. The practice of sacrificial living. Just give me the scriptures. Acts chapter 2. We'll read 42 to 45 very quickly. I mean, it's been a journey. We have covered a lot. We say that God has an expectation for his church, and we have been raised to meet that expectation. Amen. Now, the expectation is not to please him to make heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about his expectation of our representing him on the earth as ambassadors. Amen. Okay. He has a very clear-cut expectation. He has a vision to manifest himself through every part of the body. So every Christian must be raised disciple to represent God, to carry God into their world. Hallelujah. Amen. And this we are committed to. We said the early church understood this, and this is why is why they multiplied disciples in those days. You read in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it says, the word of the Lord increased, and the number of disciples were multiplied how? Greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So there were things they knew. Hallelujah. Along the line of the teaching, I gave you an example of a deacon in Acts chapter 7. His name was Stephen. Stephen was a deacon. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't one of the apostles. He was someone who was sent to serve tables, who was raised in the early church. But see, he was so educated in spiritual things that without sermon notes, in response to allegations that were raised against him, okay, by some of the synagogue of libertines, and the high priest asked him, he says, are these things true? And he responds, he says, men and brethren and fathers, hearken. And then he ran a commentary of the Abrahamic covenant and its essence for a whole chapter. And I tell you, that was hours of preaching. Amen. And he did it so intelligently, so articulately, so structured, like he went to a Bible school. Amen. But why was it so sound? Why was a deacon in the early church that sound? Because they were given to the ministry of the word. They were committed to sound doctrine. They were committed to prayer. They were committed to a life of fellowship. Those are the four things we've done. And today we are continuing. And that is the practice of sacrificial living. You agree with me that, in fact, in the light of the things we have shared, it's actually impossible to be committed to sound doctrine. It's impossible to practice protracted interface with the teaching of God's word, to practice protracted prayer and consistency in prayer, to practice genuine fellowship without a lifestyle of sacrifice. What do you think? Without a lifestyle of sacrifice. So what we're sharing today, you can even explain the first four things we have shared in the light of this sacrificial living. Hallelujah. That means for a church to be given to prayer, they must understand sacrifice. Amen. For a church to be given to fellowship, they must understand sacrifice. For a church to be given to extended teachings and training of disciples, they must understand sacrifice. So these things are connected. Are we together? He says, and I'll go back to Acts chapter 4, verse 42 now. He says, and they continued in prayer. They continued the apostles steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Verse 43, we're reading to 45. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions. That's where we are. We're in 45, 44-45. They had all things in common. They had all things in common. That is sacrificial living. Amen. And then this explains this further. They sold their possessions and goods, imparted them to all men as everyone had need. Wow. These were not self-centered people. Listen, teachings like this are important for a time like this. You remember the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, it says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And verse 2 gives us the reason. It says, for men shall be what? Lovers of themselves. Self-love. Amen. Hallelujah. Men shall be lovers of themselves. Men shall be lovers of themselves. That's the first thing he says there. He says, because he wasn't continuing. He didn't say, in the last days, perilous times shall come, and men shall be lovers of themselves. No. He didn't say that. He said, for. That means because. Because. That means the troubles we'll face in these last days. In fact, the world is already facing troubles, what we call perilous times. It's already happening. And the root cause of it is that men are lovers of themselves. Men are self-centered. Men are selfish. Okay? Men are self-focused. They are self-absorbed. It's in the very culture. It's in the very language. The phrases that people use communicate this concept of selfishness, of self-absorption. You hear things like, what is in it for me? Are we together? Okay, and many other things people say. But unfortunately, it's beginning to seep into the church. Are we together? People are beginning to carry that transactional mindset in the negative sense into the church. Glory to God forevermore. But it ought not to be so. Look at how the early church lived. Some sold their possessions and brought the money and distributed and gave to those who did not have. When you read further, chapter 3, chapter 4, you see that there were those who sold their properties and brought them to the apostles' feet. Are we together? In chapter 15, you can put it up now. In chapter 15, verse 25 and 26. In the council at Jerusalem, when they were discussing the conduct of the Gentile church, the apostles, okay, they had this apostolic conclave headed by James, and when they had deliberated, they said, well, we will give no further commandment, but it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to us, blah blah blah. But before then, something happened. Verse 25, he said, it seems good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. 26. Is a men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you seeing that? Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hazard is in the Bible. That means Christianity, this Christianity, sometimes will cause you to hazard your life. Amen. Will put you in inconvenient places if it's true Christianity you are practicing. Are we together? It will put constraints on you. Glory to God forevermore. It will put you in a place of inconvenience. It will put you in the place of sacrifice. It will put you in the place of letting go. Glory to God. These ones hazarded their lives. Look at Message translation. They hazarded their lives. In fact, there's an argument. Some believe that scripture is talking about Barnabas and Paul. Others believe it's talking about the people who were sent with them. That's Judas and Silas. Amen. Whichever way. There's one thing is common. He said they have looked death in the face time and again for the sake of our Master Jesus Christ. Ah, glory to God. The practice of sacrificial living. Somebody said, this place is not safe anymore. I'm running to Lagos. I will never forget the story of a young lady. It's an unfortunate story. When Jaws, you know, this whole thing started from Jaws, if you remember. 2009, 2010, from 2008, 2009, 2010. Okay? And then, apart from Maiduguri, and then bombs, you remember the bomb of 2010, in fact, that was 2014. There was another one at Garabiu earlier. Amen. For the fighting, the attacks. Are we together? And then some people said, oh, they can't finish, they can't wait to finish school and just move. There were those who have finished, they just ran. There were those who were in Jos and just carried themselves. And there was a lady who was in Jos, who left Jos for Abuja, the safer place, who was involved in the Abacha barracks. Is it Mambila they call the place? Mogadishu or something. Cantonment, yes. In the Mami Market bomb blast and lost her limbs. And I thought to myself, I thought she was going to a safe place. The safest place is where God wants you to be. Never forget that. Am I saying you can't relocate? Yes, people can move from place to place, but it has to be by instruction. You have to listen to the voice of the Spirit. Sometimes such moving without the command, the go ahead of heaven may cost you a lot. Remember Abraham. Abraham went into Egypt without being led. By the time he came out, what was her name? Hagar was planted, and through that Ishmael came. Oh, you didn't notice that planting happened when he went to Egypt. So when his son Isaac wanted to go to Egypt in the days of famine, the Bible says the Lord appeared to him and said, don't go to Egypt. Stay here and I will prosper you. Hallelujah. I'm glad the Lord appeared to him. Probably he would have had his own story too. Are you with me? My point is, we are believers. We operate based, we sail under sealed orders. That means your life is not your own. Hallelujah. You live for a cause. You live for an agenda. You live for a purpose. Glory to God forevermore. Is somebody still with me? And that is very important. We need to understand that. We have an agenda that we live for. That is extremely important. It's a man who has started their lives. They have looked death in the face time and again for the sake of our Master Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is somebody's life. Acts 20 verse 35. Very quickly. Acts 20 35. Paul's talking about work. It's a man. No. Acts 20 35. Paul talking about work. He says that you have known me. I have shown you all things. How that so laboring you ought to support the weak. So Paul says, you know, the verse before says, you know that my hands are provided for my necessity. So I'm encouraging you to walk. But what I want you to see there is that Paul's instruction for work was not self-centered. He said, walk so you can support the weak. And he says, to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So you can see the orientation of the early church believers. It is more blessed to do what? To give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. We're talking about sold out, the practice of sacrificial living. What does it mean to be sold out? It means to be completely committed, devoted, invested, and engaged in a cause. To be willing to go anywhere, to do anything, to give up everything in order to achieve your goal by any means necessary. Hallelujah. I gave this example in first service. Martin Luther, this example they gave in the dictionary. Martin Luther King was sold out for the civil rights movement. Hallelujah. It's amazing that the people, the examples, most of the examples they gave in that dictionary were people who lost their lives in the cause that they were committed to. Amen. In that same dictionary, they say the Apostle Paul was sold out in his missionary work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I ask, what are you sold out to? What are you living for? What are you all out for? Getting a degree, that's a means to an end. Making money, that's a means to an end. Marrying your dream wife, your dream husband, that's a means to an end. I mentioned it to us last week that marriage is an assignment, it's not a reward. And that's an important orientation. All the people who are married here can tell you that. That is an assignment. I mean, you just got job. But see, it's a job that improves you. Have it together. It's an opportunity for improvement. It's not a reward. Somebody say, finally I've married my dream wife, my dream husband. Oh, honey. Oh, honey, where are you? Honey is not available. Amen. Look for water and drink. Honey is not available. Glory to God forevermore. Are you with me? You live for a cause greater and bigger. Greater and bigger. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Man was designed for adventure. Man was designed to live for a higher cause. From Genesis 1, we see that. He made Adam in his image and likeness and gave him an assignment. After the fall, the second Adam came and restored man to where he fell from. Are we together? So no matter how hard you try, you can never derive satisfaction or deep fulfillment by living for yourself. Why? You are not designed that way. So you can't try it enough. The moment your life is that, even philanthropists who are not Christians will tell you that their greatest satisfaction is when they carry their money and give to people in need, to the poor, and they do philanthropic things. Are we together? But for us, it's beyond philanthropy. According to 1 Corinthians 13, it says you can give your body to be burnt. You can give all your goods to the poor and have no love. What did he say? He said you are a sounding brass, right? And a tingling cymbals. So for us, our revelation is beyond philanthropy. And a little digression. If you read 1 Corinthians 13 very well, I just quoted a major part of that scripture now. That means we cannot really say a person is a Christian because they do outward things. There's a lot of confusion in our generation. A lot of confusion. That I carry a bag of rice and it's on TV. I'm giving to the poor. And it's televised. It's on social media. Televised philanthropy. I mean, it doesn't make me a representative of God. Love gives, but not all givers are lovers. They are givers who have ulterior motives. Are we together? In fact, there's what we call state capture through the politics of generosity. It's a term that is used by global titans. It's a practice that has been practiced for hundreds of years. We call it state capture through the polity of generosity. That means the free vaccines you are receiving at what cost? The free investment in business you are receiving at what cost? Are you with me? The so-called free things that are being shipped to different parts of the world at what cost? Glory to God. The research funding they are sending to that institution at what cost? For some, it's at the cost of data. Glory to God. For some, is at the cost of slavery. They'll give and give and give until they say it's time to pay back. You say you can't pay. They say, well, give us your land. And documents were signed. Are we together? Some of you are going to be in politics tomorrow. And you need to hear things like this. So you can defend your people. It is not a new practice. Places have been captured through the politics of generosity. So that whole concept of, this is even what's the reflection of Christ. It is love. It is love. As though they are not reading 1 Corinthians 13. That you can give your body to be burnt. You can dole all your goods. You can deal all your goods to the poor and have no love. Is that not remarkable? What is love then? That's the question you should ask. What defines love then? Love is the person. That's the first answer. Love is a person. Very important. And to extend that person to the world is a love work. To extend that person, to establish the lordship of love in the hearts of men and across the different spheres of human endeavor is love. Is love. Quickly now, you can give me 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. We'll read it again. Just give me King James, I'll show you that. He said, for the love of Christ constrains us. How does this love work? You can see what love means. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all that. Give me New King James very quickly. New King James very quickly. Thank you, Lord. He said, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. So you see, this man demonstrated his love by being the perfect sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. Watch this. Next verse. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. That means the true motivation of love is the benefit or the profit for the other person. Are you getting what I'm saying? That means giving in order to have control is not love. If I give something to you so that I can manipulate you, I don't love you. That's what he's saying. So they should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Ephesians, in fact, you will notice that the fall of the first Adam was as a result of disobedience, and the root cause of it was selfishness. How many of you noticed that in Genesis 3, when in verse 6 you see that the focus was themselves? When Satan came and said, it's not true, if you eat it you will not die, you will be like God, you will have the knowledge of good and evil, the focus is you. Have you noticed that? That means disobedience will always come from self-centeredness. That means you can never please the Father when your focus is just on yourself and on your convenience. That's what he's saying. Never. It's not possible. The first Adam lost it because of that. Look at what the second Adam did when he was tempted. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread and eat. And he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Out of the mouth of God. Who was his focus? God. The first temptation was about eating. Jesus' first temptation was about food. That's no coincidence. You didn't notice that? The temptation in Genesis 3 was about eating. The temptation in Matthew, that's Matthew 4, was about eating. It was about eating. Turn these stones into bread. But Jesus, our example, the second and last Adam, he turned his eyes to the Father. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means my sustenance depends on the words that proceeds out of his mouth. This one thought their sustenance was connected to the food that they will eat physically, and they fell. Are you with me? So by design, we're designed to live for a higher cause. That's what I'm arguing. We're designed for a higher cause. Three things I will share. I began in the first service. The first is understanding God's purposes. The second is clarifying your priorities. The third is aligning your daily pursuits. So understanding God's purpose. Christianity is a relationship, from personal revelation of the Christ, a relationship with the Father. And that relationship, I'll rush this, you can get the other parts in the first service so I can enter into the rest. Listen, that relationship must bring you to the understanding of the Father's interest. I mentioned that in the first service, and that is so important. If you truly have a relationship with the Father, it must bring you to the understanding of the Father's interest. That God has an interest, okay? That your Father has an interest. And that interest is to propagate his love on the earth. That interest is to establish the lordship of Jesus first in the heart of men and in every sphere of human endeavor. The second part is equally important. So the first layer of the Father's interest is to establish the lordship of Jesus in the heart of men. Second, to establish the lordship of Jesus in every sphere of human endeavor. That means in politics, he wants Jesus to be Lord. In economics, he wants Jesus to be Lord. In commerce, he wants Jesus to be Lord. In medicine, he wants Jesus to be Lord. In arts and entertainment, he wants Jesus to be Lord. That is his interest. Watch this. As you continue your fellowship with him, or if you truly understand your fellowship with the Father, you'll be awakened to the reality of this interest. And then you'll begin to live for this interest. The guys in the other side understand this. And probably because Satan is not that merciful, amen. You notice that the rules of the game on the other side is strict. It's very strict. Some of them know they can die instantly. Amen. So they are serious with it. But beyond that, there's something they know about being committed to an agenda that is remarkable. You know why? In the final analysis, nobody gets committed to a higher cause and be left out. The less is included in the bigger. There's a proverb that he that sees the sun, looks at the sun, will not see shadows, right? If your focus is on the big picture, you will not see shadows. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. They are truly added. But you have to understand God's purpose. And your life has to be about that purpose. You have to live like you mean business. You have to live. Agenda is not, I want to make money. It's not an agenda. An agenda means, I want to make money for this reason. Altogether. I'll have my PhD before I'm 35. That's not an agenda. Is a means to an end. You must see clearly how it's connected to the advancement of the kingdom. It must be clear in your mind. I want to open for international business. I want to do this. But at the back of your mind, you can connect it to the advantage it will give the kingdom of God. That is living by an agenda. Glory to God forevermore. You know, there was a time, that was last year, there was an agenda, a global agenda. I won't speak more than that. And the way people were giving, when they announced how much they had raised, it was way over $10 billion. Are you with me? They gave towards this, gave towards this. And I'm thinking, if believers can understand these things, the gospel will move faster. Somebody so believes in this ideology that he buys a bomb and ties himself to explode based on a false hope. And we have the true hope. But what can we give for the true hope? Are you with me? Living for a greater purpose. Very important. Very important. Only two things are happening in this world. I say that all the time. The advancement of the kingdom and the antagonism of the same. Only two things. So you're either building Zion or building Babylon. I gave funny examples in the first service and people were laughing. You were laughing. But it's the truth. Okay? It is the truth. And like I issued a disclaimer, it's not about not participating in the things of the world. But it's about being strategic and being circumspect. Hallelujah. If your subscription for Netflix and DSTV is 10,000, then you should partner with the gospel much more than that. Have it together. Apart from that, your money is being used to fight your God. It's being used to fight your God. It's being used to condition a world that is godless. A world, if Christ tarries, that your grandchildren cannot live in, may not find God in. There is an agenda. You know, I was watching a movie recently. I mean, excellently done, but the ideology was clear. Promoting secular humanism. Is not the theme of the movie. The theme will be good and evil, you understand? You know, the things that will appeal to you, action, have it together in display of intellectual prowess. And that was what attracted me to the movie. Display of intellectual prowess. You can see you're enjoying it. But you see, behind it, you can see what they are selling. You can see what they are selling. It's so clear. Inevitable. One of it, they were projecting the excellence of a binary. Is it binary they call them? Those who are neither male nor female. They sleep with men, they sleep with women, they sleep with they're bisexual. There's something about binary. Non-binary, right? That was non-binary. Thank you. I mean, it was so clear. It was so clear. And then I thought to myself, this is where I'm actually going. I say, where are our own movies? Where are our movies? He's not doing juju and say, Jesus, juju died. The world has moved faster than that. Are you with me? I'm not talking about carrying Bible. There's a big Bible of a Christian being persecuted. And it says, I will not lose my faith. I will not. That has been defensive. We are supposed to be on the offensive. Are you with me? We are supposed to be on the offensive. We are supposed to be on the offensive. Not being defensive. Just that the message is being passed subliminally. Where are all materials through which we pass the values of the kingdom with such excellence, with such boldness, with such power? Are we together? Same thing with the product we design. Is it Nick Ledden? What's the name of that cartoon channel? Nickelodeon. Things are moving fast. Your child is fascinated. I mean, it's excellent. Hope you know, before they program those things, they meet psychologists first. They talk with child psychologists. So they are not rushing. But when we do our own, Jesus is moving slow. He's moving slow. Your son is bored. I want somebody to be angry. We must have a response. We must have a response. We must. We must. Are you with me? But you see, your life must be about an agenda to see what I'm saying. It will cost you your convenience. Going into things like that will cost you your convenience. It will cost you, it will cost us money. It will cost us, are we together? We'll have to stretch a little more. But once you know there's an agenda, you will do it. You will do it. Glory to God. You will do it. Are you with me? Our apps must not be slow. When we do our own app, it's funny. No. It's all or none. We'll do it well. But it will cost money. It will cost time. It will cost convenience. But you are ready to do it. Glory to God. Because there's an agenda. That means you can hear about something. You know, I was praying for a footballer. That was a week or two ago. They brought him for me to pray for him, for Europe and all that. And I told him something by the Spirit. I said, what is your covenant? Why do you think we don't have many Christians out there? Because the people, and see, there's a level you get to, you have to bow to something. He's compulsory, you can't go further. I said, so what is your covenant? What do you bow to? When they pray for you and you go to Europe, you forget church, you forget pastor. But those guys, when it doesn't matter where they go, they service the altars that power them there. But you go there and start looking nice and appearing on TV. Buy it, you not do. Send money to support the work, you not. Do you understand? And wonder why we are small. You can't, you must. I said, what's your personal covenant? Because the people you are contesting with have covenant. You know, I was sharing the same thing with a friend of mine. He gave me an example. He used to be a footballer before he started pastoring. He gave me an example. He said, what you are saying is very true. He said, then there's this guy who played for one of the local leagues, and I think he went international. He says, every time he came home, as he's dropping his bag, he's walking to one Malam's house. Every time he returns to Kiti. Every time they were in Kaduna then. As he's coming, after, he may not even wait to greet everybody. As he's dropping his bag, he's driving to one man's house. I said, he's servicing his altar. He's servicing his altar. Why? There's an agenda. Most Christians live without an agenda. And that is why they don't take, when you teach about altars, they don't understand. But if you have an agenda, you pay attention to certain teachings. You will. You will. Because there are places you can't go beyond without functional altars. You can't. Hallelujah. It's impossible. You can't. Glory to God forevermore. Two medical students are in a class. One, when they are teaching how to mix chemicals, he's listening so that he can use the knowledge to advance his course. Our brother in the same class is listening and thinking about the salary. How he can oppress his neighbor with a new car. There's no agenda. This one, when they call him, there's something we need to do. There's a bioweapon we need to develop to cause fear so that our agenda can be propagated. He's available. He was ready all along. The reason he went to med school is not for salary. It's for a cause. The reason he wanted to win that election, to get that position, was not about salary. Salary is secondary. It's for a cause. How do I know? This is why when they get there, they can release freely to the agenda. Our brothers, when they get there, they cannot. Because from the beginning, there was no agenda. There was no agenda. We are not to live for things. We are to use things for a bigger vision. A bigger vision. Are you here? And there are laws on the earth, though. We may have the main thing, but serious people will keep conquering territories. Because we are looking at our small house. We are not thinking about God's vision. But things are changing. Are you with me? Glory to God forevermore. Live for a higher vision. Be sold out. Be sold out. Be sold out. I have to use those examples because this is what you see on a daily basis, especially if you live in the north. Amen. I told one brother one day, I said, close your shop and come for Tuesday service. How many hours do you have in your shop on Tuesday evening? How many hours are you going to lose? 3 hours. How much money would that cost you? Let it go and be around. For the other people, they don't need such advice. They can leave you in the shop and go for 1 hour. True or false? That's happened to me before. Has it ever happened to anyone here? You're wondering, they don't care. They believe that their God will defend the place. Even when things are stolen, they believe that the God they went to serve will compliment them. And is unto them according to their faith. Glory to God. You, they fix something on Sunday for you to miss church, you will go. Partnership meeting. They say my business partners just came. The other one will tell you, wait, let me finish on my prayers. We will meet. If you think I'm joking, go and find out. Go and do your research. You agree with me. True or false? You agree with me. You agree with me. We must be people of covenant. We must be people that live for a cause greater and higher. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, understand God's purpose. Number two, clarify your priorities. Matthew 6:33. Being sold out is first a posture of your heart. It's first a posture of your heart. It's not primarily about the activities, about sleeping in church every day. No, it's first a posture of your heart. A heart that has prioritized Christ and his kingdom. A heart that is submitted to the authority of Christ. A heart that is loyal to the king and his interest. That's the first thing. Is first the posture of the heart. The outer things are secondary. When we say be sold out, you come to church, yes, when you need to, but it's not about sleeping in church. No. It's first the posture of the heart. As a heart that prioritizes the king and his kingdom. A heart that is loyal to the authority of Christ. That is submitted to the authority of Christ. That is loyal to the king and his kingdom. That prioritizes Christ and his interest. So priority. He says, seek ye what? First. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added. You cannot be sold out to God. You can't understand that life of sacrifice that the early church understood without looking at this scripture. Without understanding what the scripture is communicating. It's priority. He says, seek first. Seek first. You have other things, but seek first. What is the interest of the king? Seek first the king and his domain. then his way of doing things, all these things will be added. You seek first. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So loyalty to the king and his interests. You can't be rebellious to God's word and system and claim to be sold out. It's not possible. It's not possible. This is beyond church activities. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 13, 14 and 15 in Amplified. Then I'll read it for you from TPT. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Amplified. 5, 14 and 15, sorry. We read it earlier, but there's something I want to show you there. And then we'll close. Glory to God. He said, for the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us. Because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. So he says, this love compels. Okay. He died for all so that all those who live might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for them. Let me read it from TPT. He said, for the love of Christ constrains us. Okay, sorry. Listen to this. For it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and holds us tightly. Because we are convinced that he has given his life for all of us. This means all died with him. So that those who live, watch this, should no longer live self-absorbed lives. But lives that are poured out for him. The one who died for us and now lives again. Did you see that? No more self-absorbed lives. But life that is poured out, what? For him. That's what I wanted to see there. So he's our priority. He's our priority. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 15. He said, I'm ready to spend and be spent for you. You know, that scripture had always touched my heart in a special way. He says, I'm ready to spend and be spent. That means some humans are currencies. God can spend them. God can spend them. Oh, hallelujah. And he shows the Paul's passion for the kingdom and for God's people. So clarify your priorities. Christ is your priority. His kingdom is your priority. And that is responsible for everything you do. All your dreams, aspirations, pursuits. He's responsible. That is priority. And this shows that you will do the other things. You watch football, amen. You subscribe. Your whatever you want to subscribe. But Christ is your priority. Did you get that? Christ is your priority. Number three, align your daily pursuits. Here's where I'll stop. Align your daily pursuit. In Psalm 27 verse 4, he says, one thing have I desired, right? And that will I seek after. The proof of interest is pursuit. That's the proof of interest. It is pursuit. If you are sold out, we can see it when we track your time spent, when we track your resources used, when we track your life, we can see it there. Because your daily pursuit is a reflection of your interest. Now, why did I put it out that way? So that you can pay attention every day. I've said this here again and again, that life produces by compound effect. Amen. Produces by compound effect. That means whatever is happening daily is what accumulates to form your life. 1 year is broken into 365 days, right? It is daily. Every day is broken into 24 hours. Daily. To align your daily pursuit. Pay attention. What do you use your time for every day? Does it put Jesus as priority? What do you use your money for every day? Does it put Jesus as priority? Okay. What do you expend your energy on every day, does it show that Christ and his kingdom are priorities? To track it, track it. Keep records if you need to. Track it. Sit down and have reflective moments, reflections. Track it. You ask yourself, who is the Lord of my time? Who is the Lord of my mind? Who is the Lord of my resources? Who is the Lord of my energy? Track it. And then align your daily pursuit. Align it. And let it bring glory to God. Let it bring honor to his name. Sit down, reflect. Bring yourself to order. No. I'm spending too much time on this. Bring yourself to order. And realign. I'm spending too much money on this. Bring yourself together and realign. I'm expending too much energy on this. And look, this is building Babylon. Realign. Realign. If you didn't hear anything from this service, remember this. Be circumspect. Be wise. Know that in this earth, only two things are happening. The advancement of God's kingdom, of the interest of your Father, and the antagonism of the same. Don't contribute to the antagonism. Be a part of building Zion. Be a part of building God's church. Be a part of advancing the Father's interest. And it starts from where you are now. Don't wait for the big things. Start from where you are now. David said, I won't give to God what cost me nothing. You remember? What a man. The Bible calls him the man after his heart. To David, God's interest was more important than his convenience. That was why he couldn't kill Saul, his enemy. That means you will walk in love to bring glory to God. Why? There's a bigger picture. There's something that is bigger than the normal daily life. It is God's interest. Glory to God. Have you been blessed this morning? Let's rise to our feet. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Rebo kasi shtepura bakati ya kotosi ya kapa. Ponto la breki da kososhte. Manto lo brebika pososho tokopa. Don't speak in tongues where you are. Oh, Father, we love you. Father, we love you. Just bless the name of the Lord. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. Bless the name of the Lord. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Most of you are feeling cold. Can we pray this off in 3 minutes? Amen. We are fine. We are safe. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me? We have a God that is greater than all. Are you with me? Are you with me? Can we pray just 3 minutes? I want you to blast in other tongues. In 3 minutes, just blast in other tongues. And then pray the things you have heard. Honta beru kapatosa. Ila paratose ki beru bakata. Hemshala kabreba kapoto.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.